If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope it's starting off well for you today. And it is foggy again. We've got some more morning fog, but it's not as bad as it was the other day. The other day, I could barely see in front of my face. Today, at least, you know, I could see the other cars around me. Which is an important thing. This early in the morning, because you never know how people are going to be driving. This is where I once again say how, although I was in favor of legalizing recreational cannabis, it sounds like I've been hitting it this morning, but although I was in favor of it, the one thing that I find to be the downfall of it is all the wake and bakers. The people that feel the need that when they're in the car in the morning, on their way to work, they get a spark one up. And I know that's what they're doing because I can smell it coming out of their cars. In fact, maybe this isn't even fog. This could all just be smoke coming out of people's windows. But then they proceed to drive a ridiculously slow speed. I'm like, can you move out of the way? Some of us actually want to get to work on time. So, you know, wait until you get to work and then smoke in the parking lot if that's what you got to do. Then your high will last longer, right? I don't know why people have to smoke before they go to work anyway, but whatever. Between that and if you have to drive by any Dunkin's on your way to work, try to avoid driving by Dunkin's if you can, because the traffic gets really stupid out in front of it. People on a main road that just slam on their brakes so that they can take a look to see how long the drive-through line is. Like, what are you doing? You're going to get in the line anyway. Just pull in. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Thanks everybody who came out last night to the Millicent Library in Fairhaven. It was a capacity crowd, as the late Gorilla Monsoon would say. They had standing room only. It was a room full of people and seemed like everybody had a good time as we were talking about the ghosts of the South Coast and getting to talk about what happened when we investigated the library last week. And that library was actually the site of the first ever paranormal investigation I ever did for a newspaper article for the Standard Times back in 2005. And I wish that the Standard Times had viable digital archives so that I could find it again, but it's so hard to find anything, especially from that era. There were many years of digital archives that were just like wiped out of their database. The whole thing is head scratching. But eventually the library will have everything digitized. So then we'll be able to find it again a lot easier. But for now, there's so many things that I wrote that I just can't find anymore. Like the time that I was assigned to write a column of what it's like to interview Michael Jordan. and I tried to always be professional, but, you know, I geeked out a little bit in that moment. I really only got nervous around a couple of people in my entire media career. And that was meeting Michael Jordan. That was meeting Larry Bird. And mainly because I knew the two of them didn't really suffer any fools when it came to interviews, and I didn't want to ask stupid questions. And then meeting Bill Russell. I was so nervous to meet Bill Russell because he also could be cantankerous. But he immediately put me at ease and started laughing at that beautiful cackle of his, and I felt so much better. But other than that, never really got nervous talking to anybody. I did take, I think, 7 years, maybe 6 years, to ask Bill Belichick a question. And then he came up to me afterwards and said, "About time you asked a question." So I guess I could have done it sooner, but, you know, I didn't have a question to ask. Everybody else asked the questions. Anyway, this morning we have a number of topics that we can discuss. I saw a lot of comments on social media and a lot of back and forth for a local story that we had for you yesterday. The fact that Ruth the Elephant had entered into hospice care. And there's someone, and I'm not sure who is behind the account. I don't know if it's Joyce Rowley or other people, but there's an account on Facebook dedicated to getting Emily and Ruth out of New Bedford and getting them to a sanctuary, I believe, in Georgia. And it's going on to everybody's comment on Facebook and dropping the same comment over and over again, but basically saying that the Buttonwood Park Zoo is not equipped for hospice for an elephant. And I just would challenge whoever is behind that account to give the proof of that. Give us the proof of what that is, because to me, hospice care means you're just making life as comfortable as you can for someone's final days. And there was a great episode of Last Week Tonight on HBO with John Oliver a few months ago that talked about what exactly hospice care is. And in the realm of human beings, hospice care is a big industry in which there are a lot of flaws. There are people who are being put into hospice care that aren't dying. But because so much money can be made and because there's so little regulation and definition of what it is. So I think that it's a hard question or hard point to make when you say they're not equipped for hospice care. Like, what exactly is the issue? And the point that this account is making is, you know, foot care is a major problem for Ruth. And they could go to Ruth could go to the sanctuary where they have one of the best elephant podiatrists in the world. Okay. But the best elephant podiatrist in the world can also come here and offer insight and advice. And it's a lot easier to move a human from Georgia to New Bedford than to bring an elephant from New Bedford to Georgia. In an environment that has been all that the elephant has known since 1986, and where, by all accounts, the elephant is being well taken care of. And I know there are some people who are just fundamentally against the idea of a zoo. And, you know, Mary called yesterday and, you know, said she's against it altogether. But if you're against the zoo, fine, don't build any more zoos. But this is an animal that has been living in New Bedford for the last 40 plus years. Or almost 40 years. So, and by the way, has had a companion for all that time, has worked with a staff for quite a long time, and has gotten to know the people who have come to visit her in all that time. So I think people want to stand on a mountaintop and shout about how these animals should be freed. And overall, they're probably right. But in individual cases, sometimes an animal is just not equipped to be moved, to be brought to somewhere else. But I think it's a topic that's always going to be controversial. I would doubt that when Ruth passes, that they're going to, and let's just face facts, and I'm not trying to be morbid about this. Do you think Emily's going to be around very much longer either? If Ruth is 66, Emily is 60. And we said yesterday, the average age of an Asian female elephant is 47. So they're both in the bonus period of life here. And if that's the case, it probably won't be long before, and I'm not trying to be morose. I'm not saying, well, you know, without Ruth there, Emily's going to die. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this brings the eventual mortality of the other elephant into focus as well, because they're both well past the average age for a female Asian elephant. So the reality of the situation is, I would guess sometime in the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, she'll probably pass too. And does the zoo bring in other elephants? Or is that something that doesn't happen anymore? As the zoo has been making upgrades and expansions over the years, that will continue to be a topic of conversation, is what animals, if any, should be brought into that situation. We also had the story yesterday, and it's still there at WBSM.com and on the app, of the passing of longtime state rep Susan Williams Gifford of Wareham, the 2nd Plymouth District. She had been in office since she first won election in November of 2002 or 2003, I forget. But so, you know, over 20 years she's been in office. I think it was 2002. And she was somebody that I had known peripherally through my job at the time, working at Mill Pond Diner. Her husband, Mark Gifford, who was the head of municipal maintenance for Wareham, he came into the diner every day. He was good friends with the owner. She would come in sometimes, but it was kind of like his time with his friends, being there at the diner. And for those who have never been diner regulars, a diner is kind of like, and especially in the mornings, it's kind of like a bar for people that don't drink, or a place, even if they do drink, but just a place where they're not drinking. So they come in, they sit around, they're drinking cups of coffee, they're talking, they're reading the newspaper, they're talking about the news of the day with each other. And a lot of people like to start their day off that way. A lot of people like to end their day that way and stop by on their way home. So it's kind of like, you know, the people that hang out at the barber shop, even though they're not getting a haircut. There are a lot of people, especially, you know, guys, but there were women too, who aren't even going to have breakfast. They're just going to have a cup of coffee and hang out for 2 hours, which used to drive the owner crazy, because they'd take up a stool for 2 hours for 75 cents. But the political fundraisers and the different events that were put together when she first launched her run for state rep, you know, Biff was always the caterer. And while I didn't do a whole lot of catering, you know, you'd still be involved in some of it. And so you got to see that this was a person who was passionate about wanting this job. And even back then, you know, young 20-something Tim was a liberal person. But I saw in Susan Williams Gifford somebody who I wouldn't even have known she was a Republican if it wasn't for the fact that Biff always talked about the fact that she was a Republican. And if not for that, I never would have known, because she didn't bring up party politics. She talked about what was good for the people of the district. She talked about how she could help the constituency. Putting people first was her motto, and she stuck to it. And that's why I happily voted for her multiple times over the years. Because she was doing the job in a way that, especially at the state rep level, it should be done. It's about the people. It's not about the party. It's about what benefits the constituency, and not just making decisions that benefits the constituency, but advocating for things. And she was a huge advocate for a lot of things that got done over that time. Now, she lost the primary back in September to John Gaskey, who is what he calls a Second Amendment absolutist, and is a pro-lifer, and is very much aligned with a lot of the MAGA philosophy. And I don't know how much of her illness people knew about when they were voting. I don't know if they were like, she has cancer. Is she going to be able to perform the duties of the office? And I don't know how much that weighed into people's decision, or if it was maybe just a matter of she'd been around for 20 plus years. I don't know if it was a matter of the people who actually came out to vote, that the folks that were more MAGA than Susan Williams, who definitely was not a liberal, but certainly wasn't a far-right person, at least that I ever saw, that maybe the people who actually came out to vote in that primary were the people who were of a more far-right belief. But either way, she lost the primary, and it wasn't that she gave up. She was still fighting hard and campaigning hard. But now she passed away at the age of 64 from cancer. She died at her home on Tuesday, surrounded by her family. And our thoughts and prayers go out to Mark and all of the family out there, and everybody that knew her, because I don't think anybody, it doesn't matter if you had a D or an R next to your name, I don't think anybody that met her didn't like her and didn't appreciate her passion. So, just as a side note, not that the race for the 2nd Plymouth District is really important in the wake of her passing, but originally John Gaskey had no opponent. He was running unopposed. There was no Democratic challenger. And when he defeated Susan Williams Gifford, Sarah Hewins, who has run for her office before and I believe was on the Carver Select Board, she threw her name in the ring as a write-in candidate on the Democratic side just because she did not want to see Gaskey just walk right in to that position. She wanted them to have a challenge. And I think she's somebody that would do a good job if she was elected. I just don't know how good a write-in campaign works. You know, in the case of Christopher Thrasher, doing it in advance of the general election, you know, doing it during the primary is one thing. But I think trying to do it during the general election is a little bit more of a challenge, but we'll see what happens. We've only got less than 2 weeks to go before we find out. And speaking of less than 2 weeks before the election, last night Kamala Harris had a town hall on CNN. And kind of an up and down performance. It's getting getting reviews where she was strong in some areas and very weak in others. But I think what you saw is you saw a little bit more, and some of the commentators were talking about this afterwards, a little bit more of her personality. A little bit more of who she is and how she connects to these issues. And that might win you over a few undecided people. I thought it was a pretty well run. I didn't see the first half hour because I was coming home from the library and stopped to get dinner and all that. But by the time I got home, it was about 9:25 and I turned it on and I watched the rest of it from there. And there were some times when I was like, well, that's not an answer. You could have given a better answer than that. But there were other times when I said, okay, now we're getting to the point where all gloves will be off for the next 13 days, 12 days now, right? So if you didn't get a chance to see it, I'm sure CNN is going to have it up on their website or on their YouTube channel. But there were questions that were asked of her from the audience and questions that were asked of her from Jake Tapper that were the questions people wanted answers to. Whether or not you like the answer she gave is a different story, but... And he did ask her point blank if Donald Trump is a fascist. And she said that, yes, she believes that he is. And she's basing that on not only what she's seen, but also John Kelly's comments. So I did watch the other night as they were having the discussion about the Kelly comments. There were people who were around Trump who said that those comments weren't accurate and that the suckers and losers comments weren't true and weren't accurate. And I don't know, I would just be careful in any situation of being absolute about anything. You could say, well, they didn't happen in that context, or I didn't hear them if they did. But this full-throated, like, this is just made up, is a dangerous game to play, because I think America hears some of that and says, well, but wait a minute. We've got all of these people who served in the military who are warning us that this guy shouldn't be in charge of the military. Maybe we've got to at least listen to them. It might not change your mind. It might not change your vote. But you've got to at least listen to it. And the fact that people are so dismissive of people who are, you know, basically American heroes just seems kind of... seems like a kind of extreme position to take. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. Phil is off today, so we won't have the news at the half hour. So there's room for you if you want to call in. And we will have more of that coming up in just a few moments. But right now, I've got to take my first break of the morning. We will be right back. And welcome back in. That, of course, is George Michael, Praying for Time, from the amazing album, Listen Without Prejudice, Volume 1. And it was such a great album and such a departure. Well, I shouldn't say departure, but considering how socially conscious that album was after coming off the hugely popular Faith album, I don't think that's what people were looking for. I think they were looking for George Michael to continue making more great pop music. And instead he had something to say. And this is the album that had, you know, Freedom 90 on it, which has become such an iconic song. And by the way, it was Freedom 90 because Wham had a song called Freedom as well. That's a little bit different, a little bit more of a poppy song. But the Listen Without Prejudice volume was just an incredible message at the time. There was going to be a volume 2, but they ended up scrapping it because George Michael got into legal battles with the record company Sony Music. There's great documentaries about George Michael that came out the last few years, but I felt like they kind of glossed over that period a little bit. They talked about the battles with the record company, but I think, you know, seeing him become a more socially conscious performer, because he never really he wanted to be a pop star, but he always felt like he was more than just a person who could write catchy songs and look good in videos. So he thought there should have been more substance to what he was doing. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weinberg.
How you doing?
I'm okay. And you?
I'm doing all right.
Called in because I heard you talking about the zoo again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're forgetting something else. I never said that they didn't take care of them at all, you know, like that. But you got to remember, you still kidnapped them out of their own area from where they were. Not only that.
Well, not many of these animals are born in captivity already. They've never been in the wild.
Okay, but we're not talking about captivity. We just talked right now about the zoos and the animals, right? That's what we're talking about. And what I have to say is, not only did they take them out of their own natural environment where they were born, meant to be with other animals roaming around, no matter how big the Buttonwood Zoo is, it would never be enough for those animals to do and live their life the way they were supposed to live their life. Number two, you ripped them away from their families. You don't think when you go and get a baboon or a monkey or an elephant that you're not taking them from family members? They were living their life the way they were supposed to live it. And we came and locked them up. Oh, there was a lot of room for them. No, it'll never be enough room for an elephant, a giraffe, even a monkey in a cage. I'm sorry. I can't agree with that. Yeah, when I was a kid, my father took us to many wonderful zoos all over the place. And we enjoyed it. But at that time, I was a kid. We're happy to see it. I feel to anybody wants to see any kind of an animal, make your way to where the animal is and see it there if you can do it without getting killed by other animals out on the lonely range, wherever it is. But you're the one that wants to see the animal. You go to the animal where the animal lives. We shouldn't gather them up, drag them into a zoo, which will never be right. I don't care how nice they took care of those elephants. I'll always say they should never be there, none of them. Is the tiger still there? I haven't been in a long time. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen a tiger there in my time going. But I...
Oh, I'm so
I could be
glad.
Wrong. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, because I don't hear anybody mention that when they go to the zoo. Oh, hey, did you see that tiger?
Yeah, I can't remember there ever being one, but there might have been one when I first started going, but it's not there now. I'll say that, first of all, two questions for you. One, you know, you're talking about taking them away from their family. Well, you have a cat. Did you take every cat in that cat's family, or did you just take that cat?
No. Okay, I thought of that last night. I was thinking of my cat. Now, those cats came from somewhere. They didn't start over here in New Bedford, isn't that right?
I mean, we're talking hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, yeah.
Yes, we are, but they made their way here somehow. They got here, and the reason they got here was because someone brought some cats here. And then they populated the cats over here. So now mine needed a home. I went and got one. I don't know where she came from. I can't go anywhere and dump her off. She's not a baby no more. I don't know where her mother is or anything. So it's a different story of what you're talking about. These animals were here already. I didn't go and snatch them from anybody.
And my
but
other...
I knew you...
I was going to say, my other question is, that how do you feel about a place like, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but like just as an example, at Six Flags in New Jersey, they had what they called an African safari area. So they basically took a wide area of open space and they built a recreation of the African plains where they have all different kinds of animals out there living in the wild and living in groups and living together. Are you opposed to something like that? It's more akin to like a sanctuary than it is a zoo.
Well, that is a next bigger jump up to making it better for them. But nothing will match where they were born, where they were meant to be. I mean, I've never seen that. I'd like to, but
it's pretty interesting because what you do is you drive through and you can't get out of the car. But
I've seen them on videos. Yeah.
When you drive through, like I remember there was one year where we were in our car and our car overheated and broke down, and all of a sudden there was this like stampede of giraffes coming at us. And like they were coming at us pretty quickly, and the only reason they stopped is because one of the jeeps from the Rangers came and parked between us and the giraffes. And when they saw the jeep, they know to disperse and to run away from the jeep. So they
why Mr. Weisberg? Didn't want to interrupt you, but right there, why? Well, why did they know to run away from the jeep?
Because they use it for herding. So they use that so that the animals don't start crossing over into. You don't want the giraffes to go into the area where the lions are. They'll drive the jeep in between them to kind of get them away from that area. And they learn, they see the jeep, they say, oh, I've gone too far. And they just go back in the other direction. It's not like the people are beating them or anything.
No, but I mean, there are chances for people to get hurt then over there, and they're going to deserve what they get.
No, I mean, I think that they're not intentionally trying to hurt anybody. It's just, you know, we just happened to break down off the road and we had an issue. And then, of course, you go through at the very end, they have all the monkeys and the baboons and everything, and they climb on everybody's cars and they rip off people's antennas. Well, people don't have antennas anymore, but back then they had antennas on their cars and they would break off the antenna. And we had to drive home from New Jersey one year without a radio because the monkey broke off our antenna.
Well, I'm going to have to look this up now. So when Ruth passes away, and Emily too, I mean, so now how do they dispose of them? Do they cremate them? Do they find a place to bury them?
I don't know.
I'm interested in that.
I have no idea.
I'm going to look that up later today, because I can't do it right now. But I am going to look that up. What do they do with dead elephants? I don't know. I mean, look at all the years they suffered because we wanted their tusks for jewelry and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Elephants have been through a lot. I mean, and of course, they finally stopped all that. You can't go and get tusks anymore. It's illegal, but sometimes they still do, right?
Well,
they find a way to get it.
Yeah, there's still ivory that's out there. And people
like
will
piano.
Poach. People will poach, but there's also ivory that's been out there for, you know, for generations that's still getting traded around. But there's still a huge problem with poaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the only thing I believe in catching. It's something I'm going to eat, and I'm not going to eat an elephant. But I wouldn't mind, you know, a deer or two or something like that. So if you're ever hunting, you know, remember me. Bring me back something.
Well, like I said, my brother-in-law is an avid hunter. So if he's ever got some extras and he shares with me, I will share with you.
Well, has he ever?
No.
Okay, so I don't expect it.
When you
haven't tasted any, right?
When you go over, they always have a whole bunch of things for you to have, like when you go over. But I think he has like two or three chest freezers, so they've got plenty of space for the food that they get.
You know, any other hunters like around here that might come back with one or two rabbits or something? I'll set up a rabbit.
No, I don't know very many hunters, but I don't think he or my nephew hunt for rabbits. I think they just focus mainly on deer.
I know.
I think he might have gotten a turkey before.
Oh yeah,
but
poor thing. Like I said before, too, if I had to get my own food, doing I couldn't do that. I would have to find somebody to kill it for me. I wouldn't go out and kill a rabbit. No.
Yeah, I couldn't kill an animal either.
No, but I want to eat it. But you're eating animals, though.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with eating animals. I didn't kill them. Somebody
Very
did.
Good.
Somebody's got to eat them.
Yeah, because I know doggone well that when the cavemen were running around starving, they weren't looking for apples or grapes and zucchinis, none of that stuff. They were going after the meat, boy. And that's what kept them going all these years, or we wouldn't be here. Thank you for the phone call today.
All right, you have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Let me take my next break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
From a rainy Thursday on the avenue, thought I heard you talking softly. I turned on the lights, the TV.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And even though it's foggy right now as you're heading out to start your day, you're going to have abundant sunshine eventually. And when you see that sun shining, you're going to think to yourself, this is dollar signs raining down on me from above. This is money in my pocket coming down from that great big fiery ball in the sky, because you know that you can convert solar energy into power to help you save money. And it takes a little bit of an investment on your part, but down the line, it'll save you big bucks. And I see all my friends that have done this posting their electric bills on social media saying, look at how much I've saved. Look at my electric bill is zero. The electric company is actually paying me, because I'm creating more energy than I'm using. And now, of course, if you have questions about all of this, because it can be very confusing, Isaacs and Solar are the people that can help you. They can give you simple, honest, direct answers to all of your questions. But people also think that putting solar panels on your home means you've got to put solar panels on your home. You've got to put them on your roof. And I know folks that say, listen, I have a historic home. I don't want to change the look of it. Or I don't want to put solar panels on my roof because I don't want to have to, you know, worry about what if I have to replace my roof, or I want to be able to do this or that. Well, you don't have to put them on your roof. You can put them in your yard, on your property, but you can also have unique accents created for your property as well, like a carport or a pavilion that will double as a place for those solar panels to collect the energy. You can see examples of those by going to the Isaacs and Solar Facebook page, and you can see exactly what we're talking about. And then if you think that might be a good fit for your home and something you would like to see in your yard, then all you have to do is reach out to them at isaacsandsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsandsolar.com. And they will talk you through the entire process. They will let you know if your home is a good fit for solar. If it's not, no worries. But if it is, they'll give you a free, no obligation quote, and you can sit down with your family and decide if you're ready to make the jump to go solar. So again, isaacsandsolar.com. All right, I do have to take one more break before the end of the hour, so let me get that out of the way. Don't forget, in addition to your phone calls at 508-996-0500, you can always send app chat messages and open line voicemails. You can record your thoughts and I can play it on the air just like it's a phone call, except you don't have me interrupting you and talking over you. So you can send that right via the WBSM app, which you can download for free from your app store or from WBSM.com under the Listen tab. And it's all brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. They help us make it so that we can keep upgrading that app and keep offering you new and interesting features. Like our current contest, where we're giving away tickets to see Adam Ray as Dr. Phil Live. That's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. It's where we bring you our news, our breaking news alerts. It's where we bring you live traffic and weather information. It's where we have all of our streaming audio as well as our podcasts, all right there in the palm of your hand with the WBSM app. All right, I got to take this break. We'll be back in a few. All right, well, that'll do it for the first hour.